Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And good morning, David Doval.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Everything is good. Everything is busy. Everything is insane.
I know.
It's an interesting time. There's an old Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. It could be an old Chinese curse. I'm not sure.
All's depends good. It depends on what you do, right?
Yeah. How interesting and what defines interesting.
Right.
All kinds of interesting things going on. We're going to talk about the most interesting things in our world, home improvement, 704-570-1110. David, in another world, so this month, I think we celebrate 27 years on the air. In 1 week, 2 weeks, I can't remember precisely. I have to go back and look, which is cool. And in my other world, like 3 weeks, we've had our third family room show air this past Wednesday. So,
what was that now?
The family room. I think I told you I started another. I didn't start. There's three of us doing another radio show. In Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The family room. Yep. So got three of those under our belt. How many of these shows do we have under our belt? A lot. What's 27 times 52? A couple hundred.
Right.
All right. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. I thought this week, David, we're October. Happy October, everybody. Unbelievable that we are already in October. I'm pretty sure. I feel like we were just talking about making plans to try to get to the beach this summer. But there's lots going on, and it's Fire Safety Month. October is Fire Safety Month, and so I thought we would spend a little bit of time. You know, shame on me. I started working on, you know, a show outline and realized, wow, there's a bunch here. We're not going to do it justice just to gloss over things. So I thought, David, we could look at, like, just maybe five key elements of fire safety at, like, 10,000 feet. And then we've got... You know, next week we'll have our HVAC partners in, and there's certainly some things relevant to fire safety there, especially carbon monoxide and true fire safety, actual burning fire that are, you know, you kind of get around those things if you do the inspections and stuff like that. But then we've got two, three more weeks, whatever it is after that, and so I thought we would take a little bit deeper dive because. We can talk about fire extinguishers and we talk about ratings, but what does that rating really mean? We can talk about smoke alarms, but you know, there's a couple different types and which one should you get? We'll lean heavily, I think, on the Walter Kitta products. They're pretty much in residential. Well, they do tons of commercial also, but in residential, Walter Kitta is pretty much the standard, the brand that they really do a lot of great stuff from an education perspective. They have a great website. You can check that out. It's KIDDE.com and then /home, but you just go to kidda.com and there's just a ton of really good information out there, but we'll talk. What about picking a fire extinguisher, picking a carbon monoxide detector, selecting a smoke alarm, and then having all those things in place, making good, prudent decisions about which ones to buy financially. Also, like, how do you spend your money? Because a fire extinguisher is not cheap. Not if you put fire extinguishers in all the places in your home where you should have them. It's not $19.22, right? It costs a little bit of money. And so we have some suggestions. We'll even make our Home Depot product of the week related to this because there's a couple things out there that are pretty cool that help you get a really good start if you haven't paid attention to this. And it's surprising how many people at one point we did not either. In fact, I would argue that after the renovations that we've done, I've put most of the fire extinguishers back in place, but honestly, not all of them. I can No, tell there's one in the master bedroom closet right now. But anyway, we'll talk about that, and having a fire safety plan. And that would be one, David, that I really would like to take a deeper dive in. Maybe we'll even get a guest in developing a plan, because that's really where we get in trouble, right? All those things are in place, but something happens and you just got to get out. And I read a statistic that said homes are burning at some, like a house is consumed by fire at some percentage rate faster now. I didn't get a chance to dig in to understand what's causing that. But that's a little weird. What would make that happen?
I don't know. That's crazy. Maybe more things that are more flammable. I don't know.
I guess. Anyway.
Or maybe they burn hotter once it starts.
I don't know. We'll check it out. We'll check it out. We got a whole month ahead of us. But we got a whole 2 hours ahead of us. So we'll talk about this. But we want to really talk about any questions you have related to this, but also any questions you've got related to your home. We're not just going to lock on one topic. If you want to talk about plumbing, electrical, roofing, siding, whatever it is, we're happy to talk about that. So just give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. David, we'll check out some emails, because people have gone to askjohnanddave.com, clicked on the email button, and we'll tackle all of that when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We've got Jim and Mike out there. Let's get Jim first. Jim, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How you doing?
We are stellar. How can we help?
Well, I'm in the process of getting ready to build a house at the beach, and I'm going to start around the first of the year, and I'm getting two different opinions on whether to do it on a crawl space and encapsulate the crawl space or do it on a raised slab.
Are we taking out of consideration any of the beach things like water, floods, hurricanes, and we're just saying we're at the beach, okay, great, we know that there's potential weather-related things, and so now we're just talking fundamentally which is better, a raised slab or a crawl space? Is that fundamentally the question we got to ask? Answer, Jim?
Yeah, it's not in a flood area, so it doesn't have to be raised up too high. 3 feet is what the neighborhood requires as far as a reveal.
Okay. Then I think our advice is, I mean, structurally either is fine. We like a crawl space just because it gives you access. You can to run ductwork, run wire. Just it gives you some additional flexibility post construction that we think is advantageous. And we like the idea that you want to encapsulate it, because particularly where you're going to be really, really humid, that probably makes really good sense. And David, I probably, you know, just glossed over 100 things. What are your thoughts?
I think that's it. Essentially, the cost is probably going to be pretty close to the same in the end. And I just think the advantage, a couple of advantages. John mentioned one, you have access from the bottom. And then, of course, if it's a ranch, you have access from the top. So it gives you alternatives for in the future when new technology comes around or whatever. It's just nice to be able to have that. It's not totally necessary, but it makes things a little bit easier. And then I think second is, I think you get a little bit softer floor, if you will. I think you get a little more cushion. Of course, if you put carpet through the whole house, which I doubt at the beach that you'll do that, but you might, you could put a thicker pad and that kind of takes care of it. So I think at this point, it really just comes down to preference.
And you think the cost is essentially the same with bringing in all the field dirt for the slab?
Well, yeah, because you're going to offset with an encapsulated crawl space. So you're going to frame it. The labor's a little bit more, that'll equal out between the slab and the framing and all that. But then when you backfill. I mean, there may be a little bit of difference in it, but I don't think it's in a 15, 20, 30 year loan is probably not going to be enough to worry about.
What would it cost approximately to encapsulate a foundation of about maybe 1,500 feet?
You know, I don't even know what they're getting now, and I wouldn't want to quote it because it's really not what I do. I really don't even know what the actual numbers are right now. So we have some folks out there that could probably tell you that.
DryPro.
DryPro. Michael Mazering does consulting anyway. Oh, okay. So you may want to just talk with him, and he can give you some ins and outs of that from his perspective. If you send us a note to the website, I'll get you connected with him. I don't have his number right in front of me, but he's actually listed on our site, I believe, AskJohnAndDave.com under contractors. But if you can't see it, just send me a note, and I'll get you connected with Michael. He's a wealth of information.
Okay, guys, I appreciate your time.
I mean, good luck. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Jim. Thank you for your call. All right. We are at 704-570-1110. We're happy to have your call. Right now, we're going to talk to Mike. Good morning, Mike. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
We are good.
I was calling. I got a little project at home. I'm going to try to change out a door frame. I got a basement home. And got a little bit of wood rot around the frame itself.
Mm-hmm.
I already bought the door and frame. I'm just wondering how complex that is to change that thing out.
It's not. Is it pre-hung? Pre-hung door?
Yes. So in the basement, my basement is unfinished, so I can see all the way around the edges of it.
Oh, it's
gym.
Super easy.
The floor is concrete, so it should be close to level. I didn't put a level on it yet. And the door has the threshold. The new door has the threshold already made onto it. So
sure.
Hopefully that should be level.
Yep. You'll make sure it's square and plumb. Easy job.
Yeah, it's pretty cut and dry. Cut the old caulk loose, and you'll pull the brick mold. Probably pull the brick mold off because the fasteners are probably through the brick mold. Sometimes, Mike, they'll run screws through the hinges. So the best practice, and it cuts the weight down anyway, go ahead and take the door off of the hinges.
That thing was pretty – you're right. That thing was pretty heavy when I loaded it at the store. I don't want to name which one, but one or the other of the home improvement store.
Sure. So take the new door and the old door – and you'll pull it off of the hinges. Now, when you take the old door off, you need to pull the leaf of the door hinge that's on the frame. Pull that off because there's liable to be some 3-inch screws through that hinge into the jack stud. Because a lot of times that's done to pull the door into shape and pull it over. So if you take those hinges completely off of the frame, that'll ensure that there's no screws in there holding it. And then you should be able to just start. You could probably take a hammer and another board on the inside and just hit the door frame hard. It'll knock the frame out. There's a possibility that there's caulk underneath it, so that'll have to be cleaned up when you're done. Fit the door, dry fit the frame, and then pull it back out and put a big bead of clear silicone underneath the door when you set it for the permanent time. Put your level on it and plumb it up.
Buy some shims.
Yeah, you'll need.
I bought the shim package that came.
Yep.
They were right there next to the door frames at the store where I bought them.
That makes sense.
To level it or to make it plumb, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you'll probably need them. And you fasten it in, and then you put your fasteners through the brick mold into the jack stud, and then after you hang your door back up, then you can add some screws. It'll come with some extra long screws. And those go on the hinges, all three hinges, and then you'll put them closest to the door stop or closest to the weather strip.
And do you have
on the concrete, when I get ready to actually set it in place or set the frame in place, I need to put a silicone down there on the floor.
Yep, that'll
so
keep.
That I got a seal between the threshold and the concrete.
That's right. That'll keep the water and the bugs out.
Okay, I just wanted to get a morale booster there before I get started this morning. I kind of had it thought through. I looked at a YouTube, but I wanted to hear somebody say it, and that gave me a little boost there to get started.
Well, we encourage you to go. I think, David, the one thing we didn't mention that probably would help is, do you have a square, like a speed square or a mini rafter square or anything, Mike?
I don't have a carpenter square, no, I do not.
Dave, I don't know how critical, David. I mean, just to make sure he gets that thing in square.
It's nice to have it. You can pick one up just about anywhere. You can get a plastic one for just a couple of bucks. You don't need anything.
Right. You're not going to do rafter cuts and you know, bird's mouth things. You just want to make sure that you get it in the corners of the door so when you finally fasten it, that it's square, then your door doesn't bind when you put it back in.
But you could also use anything that you know is square. So if you have a factory piece of plywood, just the corner of it, that's a factory on both sides, that's good enough. That'll work as a square as well.
I got plenty of lumber pieces and whole planks at home.
You just want to make sure something's straight, you know, good 90 degrees, and you're good to go.
Okay, I got you. Thank you, guys.
Good luck, man.
All right, Mike, consider yourself encouraged.
Hey.
Thank you.
All right. See you,
have
buddy.
A great day. All right, there you go. Gotta love that. He's off.
He'll be done in time to watch the football kick off at noon.
Game. That's all good stuff. And I did want to ask for sealant underneath, silicone or like polyurethane?
Either one's fine. Silicone will last. Some of these newer silicones are much better, but polyurethane is almost always my choice, but silicone is a lot of times people will shy away from that just simply because it might be. Well, I shouldn't say that. I bought some silicone the other day and it was $9 for a tube, and I think the OSI was still six or seven. So
yeah, okay.
So you can't blame it on cost.
There you go. All right, good stuff, folks. You are with the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Or you can go to AskJohnAndDave.com. Click on the questions button. We're talking home improvement. We're talking fire safety. Most importantly, we'll talk about whatever is important to you when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're talking home improvement. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, and we'll talk about what's important to you. We're on the October Fire Safety Month discussion. We haven't spoken to that at all because we've had some great calls, and we're grateful for that. Let's just take a minute on it. There's like all kinds of things to talk about from a fire safety perspective, and we'll spend time over the next few weeks, you know, on maybe a little bit more detail on each of them. But I think if you say, hey, what's the first thing people think of when they think of fire safety in the home, David, it would be what?
I would say smoke detectors.
Right, right. I think you're right. I think smoke alarms. I haven't gone to find surveys on that, but I think that's pretty much conventional knowledge.
Right.
And it's the right thing to do. And the placement of smoke alarms is a lot more aggressive now by code than it used to be. I don't know what Mecklenburg County is, probably one in every bedroom. I'm guessing, is that true? Do you know?
There's one in every bedroom and then one in outside the common hallway. So let's say you had a four-bedroom house and you had three bedrooms on one end of the house with a hallway. All three of those bedrooms would have to have a smoke detector or a smoke alarm inside the room.
The room, right.
And then one outside the three-bedroom doors in the hallway, a common hallway. And then if the master bedroom was on the other end of the house, you would have one inside the room and one smoke alarm outside
in the
home.
Right. And so I referred earlier to the Walter Kidde, or I think they just go by Kidde now, KIDDE website. It's KIDDE.com. A very good website, good information and easy to follow. It's laid out well. And there's a nice little drawing, a sketch of a home, and it shows you placement of carbon monoxide detectors, smoke alarms, and fire extinguishers. And it's very helpful. And then it's got like hover help, so like or metadata, whatever you call it. So if you click on the little dot that says this is where you should have a fire extinguisher, it tells you what kind of fire extinguisher to put there because there's different types.
Yes.
But let's dial back to the smoke alarms for just 1 second. So it would make sense for you to check your local code. Mecklenburg County has always been really good about having information to help people. So it wasn't all too technical, and it was, as I recall, typically a pretty user-friendly world to determine what should be happening for things like that. So that's a good, that's good news. David, I don't know what like York County and Union County are like. That's not a diss on them. I just don't recall because I never really looked. But let's talk about smoke alarms for a second. And there's actually two kinds. And we've spoken about it before, but how they detect a fire is different. There's a type called ionization, and it has like it detects particles from a fire. So it is usually most effective in determining or identifying fast moving fires. So things where cardboard, paper, things that have fast combustion and produce these particles, it'll pick that up quicker and more readily and sound the alarm. The other type is called photoelectric, and it senses smoke, and it tends to be really effective with smoldering fires. So something happened. I don't know. I don't know if I should say like an electrical fire, but there was an arc or something, and now there's just a slow smoldering fire in framing or behind a wall, and it'll pick up those. The good news is you can also get a dual sensor model, so it senses both, and probably the right thing to do. But I think number one is just having them, and number two, knowing where to place them is what we would encourage you to think about. And then David, we've always spoken about, okay, daylight savings time is coming up. Daylight savings time is when you change the batteries in your smoke alarms. But Kidde actually has a product now where I think they call it the worry-free, and you don't change the batteries. The batteries are good for 10 years, right?
Yes, and that's really useful if you have really tall, if it's in a tall ceiling somewhere. But in general, it's just one less thing to have to worry about, right?
They're not radically expensive. I went ahead and did the math because, like, I don't have a life. If you change the batteries in your smoke alarms at the frequency where that you should, like twice a year, it's $36 a year, basically. So $360. You can buy a lot of smoke alarms for $360. I would say, or a lot of batteries, because you just did. So it's probably worth spending the extra $5, $10, whatever it is. I didn't go look at that. Versus changing the batteries, not to mention the thing that chirps, because it only chirps with the battery out around 2 in the morning-ish. So smoke alarms, very simple. We'll take deeper dives into ionization, photoelectric. We'll talk some fire extinguishers and some other basics of fire safety. But we're going to take a little break here. So give us a call with your questions, 704-570-1110. And we'll be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're taking your calls this morning at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a shout. We'll talk about what's important for you. David, let's see. While we're on this, I pulled up, ironically, this is interesting. So I pulled up our tip of the week from 2006. And it is, this week's tip comes from our Don't Sweat It Yet file. And guess the first line says, because safety should be first and foremost in any home improvement project, we have a real simple tip for you who may be ready to try your hand at sweating copper fittings. It talks about that copper fittings are frequently found between wooden framing members, and you have flame and burnable and combustible product. And we recommend here during fire safety, we must have known it was fire safety month then too, eh? Because we recommend using the flame proof for the asbestos. I don't think you can say asbestos anymore because I'm not sure that's what it's made of. But there's a flame proof cloth pad that goes behind your plumbing when you're going to sweat a fitting and it's close to a combustible framing member. And our tip was to do that. Do we think that's still true?
If you're going to sweat the pipe, it is.
What are we going to tell them, though, really?
Use a shark bite fitting.
Why would you do that? Yes, exactly. So it's kind of like mostly there. It's kind of like if you wanted to take a horse to work, you should clean up after it or something. But there's better ways.
And they make a longer coupling. Have you seen those?
No.
And so what that's about is you can you cut the pipe and you can cut a little
slide
bit more.
Coupling.
Yeah, and you slide it all the way past. And
I've actually used it. Yes,
yeah,
I've used one.
And they bridge. And that's really their repair. It's a repair coupling.
And it works. I did it. There's one about 6 feet to my left on the other side of the wall. Yes. And they're shark bites the bomb, man. It's a great technology. So anyway, that was our tip of the week from whatever that is, 15 years ago. 704-570-1110. That's the number. Give us a call. Tell us what's on your home improvement mind. We're going to, David, let's talk for a second. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and knock it all out, I guess. We're our product of the week also. I went and just messed around with that. And there's some really cool stuff out there. But here's what I would suggest is a great product of the week this week. It gets excellent ratings from the customers. And it's actually a kind of a fire safety pack, if you will. It's a two-story fire safety kit. So if you live in a ranch, no worries. But it's a two-story ladder. Two fire extinguishers, two CO detectors, and three smoke alarms. Now, and it's like just over $100, I think. So great. I want to just be really clear. It's a great product batch or mix or bundle. It's good products. It's a good price, but like you just don't go in and say, okay, I'll take one of those and now I'm done. Right. The reason we prefaced our conversations is with placement and county standards and things like that is you do want to find you do want to look at the right placement and the number you need for your house. It's just a good way to get a little start, if you will. And then the other thing, I can only speak for the Home Depot on this one, but if you go, you're going to need more than five or whatever smoke alarms. If that's the case, they price them so that if you buy more than three or more than five or whatever, there's a, I don't know, call it a bulk discount or a package discount. So it's worth investing. It's that time. I think we want to just say, let's bite the bullet and do the right thing. So there we go. The ladder is the one that, because that's one that you kind of forget about. And depending on where your windows are, in our house, we have two or three different routes that you could get out a window on the second floor and have something to step to and step down. And that's good. We're fortunate. It may not be the case in every home. And so you want to have access, or it doesn't have to be hanging on the wall. These things can be tucked away and dropped as long as they're in the same room.
Well, and it
people
sounds
know where they are.
It sounds elementary, but you know, if you have kids, you know, do you have a plan? You know, I guess that's the thing. It's kind of a fun little project, and I just think you'd have a talk about it and let them get involved and kind of let them almost make the plan. I mean, you help them, but you know, it's better to know, you know, and that's what. And I'll tell you what brings it up. My grandchildren were with us several weeks ago, and we have plantation shutters, and they were staying in my office. We have a couch that pulls out into a bed, and I don't know what brought it up about a fire, but you know, they said, well, you stay on the floor, you have to stay low. And I said, yeah, but have you thought about where you would exit? And I told my granddaughter, you need to go out that window. Do you know how to open that window? And she said, how are we going to get through these little slats? So she didn't understand that they open all the way. So I showed them, and I thought, you know, thank God that we had that conversation. Yeah. So anyway, so they, you know, they were shocked, and they said, oh. And then so then they got up on the bed and opened the window and showed me they could open it. So, but, yeah, do you have that plan? Because, you know, you don't know what's in their little minds and what they're thinking. I mean, they're obviously thinking about it, but that was what she thought. So,
yeah, like she's stuck behind the slats.
Yeah, so I can't fit through there, Pop.
Pop, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, she says that a lot.
That's good. At least he's thinking. All right, so that's just a great example, and I think it's so easy to overlook with everything else going on. And man, I get a little bit nervous that we sound too preachy. I don't want to be like that, but
no, absolutely not.
But definitely want to make sure folks take advantage and take just a few minutes to think that stuff through. Because man, you talk about remorse.
Oh yeah,
you know where you haven't. That's kind of tough. So,
I want to bring this up because were we going to talk about fire extinguishers?
No, bring it up. Go. Well, I mean, I just if that's where you're headed. Go for it. I mean,
I just think that's part of Fire Safety mm-hmm. Month. And years and years ago, you and I had a discussion pretty in depth because of another family that we knew, their house caught on fire and. They ran outside. It was in the wintertime, and they ran outside to get a hose to go inside. And, of course, when they went back inside, the hose was frozen, and they couldn't get any water out. And it was dangerous anyway because it was electrical fire, and I'm glad it didn't work. They were probably protected from that. But anyway, we talked about fire extinguishers, and I'm trying to remember the guy that used to work at Home Depot. He was a manager over in Matthews, I think, but you knew him well. Anyway, I saw him one day at one of the stores, and he said, did you guys talk about fire extinguishers on Saturday? Yeah. And I said, yeah, we did. And I said, it was, you know, I just told him the story. Anyway, he said that they had sold every fire extinguisher off the shelves in the entire district. He said we didn't have any.
It's,
and I was glad.
No, that's we'll write that one up success. Not because they sold a bunch of stuff because
people
have
protected
stuff in their houses now.
Yes, you're protected. You have something to protect you. So, you know, if you don't have one, think about it. You know, go buy one, get one, put it in there. You should have one on each floor, but at least start out having one where there's the most chance of having a fire, which is in the kitchen.
Yeah, and I think you have. There's some really people are like, well, I don't want to have a fire extinguisher in the kitchen. There are stylish versions of it that you can get. I think, David, your tip is people put a fire extinguisher. These nice looking ones they're like, okay, well, so now it's not so obnoxious looking. So I don't mind putting it near the stove. Too close to the stove is a bad idea, right?
Correct.
Because if there is fire, you don't want the fire extinguisher consumed or so close to the fire that you can't get at it safely. So it's just worth doing. The other thing that I realized as I looked at my parents' house was my dad had a fire extinguisher down. They had a boiler and baseboard heat, and a fire extinguisher down close to that. So positioned in the utility room, so it wasn't like right next to the boiler if something happened.
Right.
But it was an old cast iron. Remember those things?
I do.
And I'm like, Dad, you are like 86 years old. Go ahead and pull that thing off the wall real quick. Not being a smart aleck, you know? And he's like, wow, I didn't think about that. And so we replaced it because the newer ones are much lighter.
Much lighter.
And it's, I guess it's just little things. So I think what we're doing is just trying to encourage people just to take a minute and kind of walk the house and ask yourself the questions. Who's here? Who's going to have to do this? Will they be able to do that? If something needs to be done, will they be ready? We're going to come up on a break here, so I don't want to start a new topic, but we'll take just a second because you do have to pay attention to the type of fire extinguisher that you use because they put out different types for different types of fires. But again, there's kind of an all-purpose cure version that we'll guide you toward. But more than anything, when we take this break, take a minute and think about what's going on in your house. If you got questions or shoot us a note at askjohnanddave.com. You know, click on the questions button, send us something. We'll get you connected to the KIDA site or good information, or give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. We're talking fire safety, but we'll talk about anything that makes sense or for which you have questions regarding, you know, taking care of your home. So grab a cup of coffee, grab your questions, and get ready for a second hour of home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
WBT, we lead local. I'm Jeff Atkinson, WBT News.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We've got plenty of lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. David, do we want to look at emails or take a headlong dive into fire extinguishers?
Let's do fire extinguishers at first.
All right.
It's kind of a good idea.
It is. I will direct you, or we will direct you again, to a really good website, Kidde, KIDDE.com. A lot of the information that we're sharing this morning is coming from that website, and or just good common sense product knowledge stuff. But it's a really good website. It's easy to follow. It's easy to navigate. And the things that they're showing make sense and placement and so on. So you can click on the tab fire extinguishers for your home and see everything from the types of fire extinguishers to where you should place fire extinguishers. And David, I think the first thing that that caught my attention is there's a place in the garage, there's a place in like the kitchen. There's also a place in a stairway, like a hallway coming down the stairs that I hadn't thought about. It makes good sense. And then, of course, there's if you have a basement or it doesn't show a crawl space. I don't know you have a fire in a crawl space because of HVAC equipment or something down there. That's probably not the safest place to go. There you're calling 911 and just getting out. But
I think there's a time to grab a fire extinguisher and try to use it when it's the fire is small and you can manage. But
yeah. So I'd have to go back and look at the instructions, but there's actually a little place again on this Kidde website that says when to use a fire extinguisher.
Right.
And I think it talks about we've gotten everybody out of the house, and you know, 911 has been called and you can go back at it. Now, if it's a simple little thing and you can get it put out, obviously you don't necessarily call 911. If you get it put out and it's manageable, but just, it's always, I don't think it's different from home improvement in a sense that you kind of anticipate that this job is going to somehow be easier than it ends up being. And the same with fire, right? It moves fast and it may be a little bit more unwieldy than we think it is. So just always exercise and caution. But then there's like three types of fire extinguishers and we'll go into more because you should check out the UL ratings and stuff, and we'll take some time on a subsequent show to go a little bit deeper into that. But fundamentally, David, keep me honest here. I think there's like a type for electrical fires, there's a type for chemical fires, and like grease fires, and then there's a type for like just fundamental combustibles like paper, wood, things like that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the alphanumeric? Like the alphabet code with each one?
I can't give you the exact numbers, but I know where you're going and what you would buy would be the one that covers all of them.
Right. It's A, B, and C.
Correct.
And A, I'm not going to try to do it without, I'll look it up and we'll talk to it next week. But fundamentally, in the kitchen, I think A is like a grease fire or a chemical fire. And I think in the kitchen, you're looking for an A-type extinguisher if you're going to get specific. But A, B, C, they're out there. And that will cover all fires, right?
So, well, yeah, and that, and to me, that would be my preference, because if you had, if let's say you had two or three fire extinguishers in your house, and the fire was in one certain part of the house with one certain type of fire, wouldn't it be better to have all three, have A, B, C, then you could grab it, used it, you could grab another one and use it if need be, or two people would have fire extinguishers if needed. Now, obviously, again, you have to go back to the part of is it too far out of control? Do you need to get to safety?
Yeah.
You know, that you're way more important than the contents of the house. So never forget that.
No, that's super important. And I think people fundamentally understand that.
Sure.
Right? They're not like, okay, I'm going to go in there and I'll, if I die, but the pictures are saved, everything's cool. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that way as a general rule. But like we said, it just gets so out of hand so fast that we really want people to be we just want folks to be careful. And David, I'm probably projecting my own ineptitude, right? Because it's like I'll tackle stuff and I'm like, whoa, that burned faster than I thought it would. and so maybe learn from my, what I say, ineptitude. That seemed like a nickel word. Not too smart.
This is like the guy with the – burning leaves and no eyebrows, right?
There you go. Yeah. All right. So, so that's fire extinguishers. And I think we're going to get ready to take a little break here. And so we'll do that, but think about, you know, questions that you might have. If we don't know the answer, we can certainly get information to you. We'll probably take a look at a couple, emails and stuff like that. And then I want to talk about, just a little bit about escape plans. We mentioned the idea, David, you did a great thing with the grandkids, but there's some resources to actually do a legit escape plan. And we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. So don't go away. We have lines open. We would love to hear from you at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button and send us a note. And we will be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these messages.
Dave Doval.
And we are available at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're happy to talk to you right now. B has done that. B, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, thanks. I really appreciate your topic. My dad really would have two. We jokingly called him safety inspector.
Okay.
Because every room had to have a smoke detector. You know, he got the carbon monoxide detectors, all that. But one of the things that he used to always do that drove my mom crazy, but whenever we left the house, like for an errand, mm-hmm. he'd say the house has to be inert, so the dryer had to be off, the
yep.
dishwasher had to be off. And then when we left for an extended period of time, he turned stuff off at the breakers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd kind of laugh. Well, as an adult, and this is a few years ago, I went down to visit my parents, and I didn't follow that rule. And I didn't turn the stuff off at the breakers. And I'm not sure what happened, but my stove basically turned on, and I had something on the stove. And there was a fire in the house. Not a small one. Luckily, my house sitter came in and turned the stove off, but we don't know how it ignited. We don't know how it was the 10th day of a 10-day vacation. So it couldn't have been on for the whole time. We don't know what happened, but if I had listened
yeah.
and followed that, and now I do, and I don't know if you guys have any insight to that, whether that's a good practice or not, but that's just one less thing that can go wrong in your absence.
I know that there's folks who shut down the plumbing in the event that a leak should happen and someone's away for a protected period of time. And shutting down like certain like appliances and things. I've not heard of the of going through as a general practice. It sort of makes sense. David, I'm more puzzled about what could have, was it an electric stove or a gas stove?
It was electric, and it's a smooth top, but I had like a cutting board or something on top of it. But the only thing that, like I said, it doesn't make sense to me because I have a house sitter there twice a day, and you know, she should have, in that area, she should have smelled something, we're not, it just, and I don't really, I never really use the burners all that much. So it was just kind of odd how it happened. We don't know the stove, which I had just gotten, was a complete loss, you know, and I had to have that, it stunk and I had to have it taken out. So, that part of the mystery was never solved.
So,
but if I had turned it off downstairs, guess what? You know, that wouldn't have happened.
So let's list the pros and cons
of
doing that. Pros, no fire. Cons, can't think of any.
Yeah.
A couple extra steps on the way out.
Yeah.
Which I always do anyway, because Barb likes to vacuum all the carpets before we leave. So she has that nice carpet, you know, vacuum mark in there. And then I like to go back in and put footsteps there. So she wondered who was in while we were gone.
Right.
So I always take a few extra steps anyway. It wouldn't be hard to go to the breaker box. That's great, great advice. David, there was something I was going to ask you on that. It snuck past me now, but, it sounds like good advice. Oh, the dryer piece of it. I think that's something that folks don't think about. And I think there it would be a function of if you've not done the best practice of cleaning out the vents, you run a risk there and having that shut down. Inert, as your dad said, probably makes really good
sense.
I will
tell you, I just had the vent cleaned out yesterday, too.
Good for you.
Yeah, I know.
Look at B.
I paid somebody, and they got a special tool because it's kind of a weird thing. But, yeah, I feel a lot better about it. He said a lot of stuff came out.
Not surprised at all. Well, B, thank you for the call and great advice. It's not it's not at all a bad best practice, especially appliances that are gonna generate heat. Shut them down. Good deal.
All right. Thanks,
B. All right. A new safety tip from B. Appreciate the call. Folks, we're at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. David, I just cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just real quick, I wanted somebody called in. They didn't want to come on air. It said that we didn't give the right information about the fire extinguishers. So I looked this up, and they're right, because we said type A was for grease, and it's really a K for cooking oils and fats.
Okay.
But that's in commercial kitchens.
So go. I just took it because give credit where credit's due. Right. I'm not smart enough to know all this stuff. So I just took the advice from the KITA website, and it said in the kitchen you want to have an A.
It says involving wood, paper, cloth, rubber, and many plastics. Yeah. That's A. B is involving flammable liquids, gases, gasoline, solvents, propanes, and paints. And C is fire as for electrical equipment.
Okay.
So electrical fires. So and we said A, B, C. And since, you know, you probably aren't going to be able to I guess you can buy a K fire extinguisher, but that's usually
I don't
put through a system.
And I should have been clearer. At the very beginning, I said residential, right? That KITA does commercial things, but I didn't even want to begin to get into that.
Right.
Because you've got fire suppression systems that have to happen
exactly.
in commercial kitchens, and that's an entirely different game, right?
But we are working on trying to get an expert to come on and
yeah, I think we'll try to get the KITA guys here. That would be great. And then let people fire away at millions and millions of questions. Nothing would be better. So that's our stated goal. If it takes me to November, we'll just go ahead and do it in November. But thank you for the call and the clarifications. Always grateful for good guidance. David, did you pull up? Or no, we're past our break. No, we're not. Whew. I'm not paying attention to the clock. Sorry.
Oh, Chris is not going to let you go past that.
It's our hard break. Nah, I got it. So do we want to sneak a quick email in or?
Let me get back there.
Let's just go right to the break with an escape plan just for a second.
Okay.
And then you can dig those up, because this is not like rocket science. But we've talked, David spoke just very practically about, you know, with his grandchildren coming to visit in a new house, making sure that if something happened, they knew how to get out. And that's great. And we've talked about just common sense escape plans. We've talked about having the ladders. But you can do a legitimate, or I shouldn't say the others are illegitimate, but a legitimate escape plan, and you can get a template. So by template, I mean kind of like a checklist or an outline, if you will. And different fire departments put it out. But go online and just check out fire safety plan. And all kinds of things will come up, from little booklets and things that you can buy. They have very elaborate stuff, you know, where you spend $119 and get all these different things that are part of it. Maybe, maybe not. It's up to you. But I would recommend getting in and having a look at just what are the action plans, if you will. There's an action plan template and an exit plan template, and just kind of do that. And then the other piece that folks recommend, David, you kind of did it, is a fire drill. I'll tell you that we've, in our 41 years of marriage, we've never done a fire drill. We've had many fire drills, but that was a much different scenario. Let's see. Charles has a comment here. Let's see if we get Charles. Charles, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning.
I took a boating course years ago, and the description of ABC was A.
Sorry, Charles.
Yeah.
You're breaking up just a little bit, Charles. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm getting a feedback for some reason.
Okay. Tell you what, we're going to have to put you on hold, because I think we're going to come up against
break. Heartbreak. Yeah.
See if we can figure that out. So hold tight.
Okay.
Thanks, Charles. We'll get Charles on hold there. I think he's going to give us maybe an acronym or a mnemonic device to remember which type of fire extinguisher to purchase. And that would surely be helpful. I don't know, David, if he was getting a reverb because he had the radio on, or
it might have been too.
It sounded like he might have been. In his car.
And I think real quick, I know we're gonna go to the break, but when we said something as well in there, we just need to clarify that if there's a fire or emergency, the first thing is to get everyone out and get 911 called.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you said that, and then we kind of said, well, you know, if it's a small fire, you put it out. Probably still should call 911, right?
Yeah, you call 911 no matter what. I don't know.
We didn't mean to lead anybody to believe that wasn't the case. So,
yes.
Okay.
Thank you for that clarification. All right, we'll see what's going on with Charles. We're going to take a break, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Or you can go to AskJohnAndDave.com. Click on the questions button and send us a note that way, and we'll take care of what questions you might have. We'll do all that when we return, right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we are here taking calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We want to talk about what's important for you. Let's see. Did we figure out what's going on with Charles?
No, we're just
see if he got his radio turned off. See if we can get him back in here. Okay. Charles, let's try again.
Yes, I'm here. I was on the, let's see. It's still getting that thing. Let me turn this radio off on my car.
There you go.
That would be a good plan.
And
that should be better.
We'll just switch over to the handset. I pulled over. The ABC, the A would stand for ash, the B for boom, and C for current.
Okay. There you go. So A for ash would be combustibles, B for boom would be like the chemical, and C for current electrical. Did I understand that right?
And that was from a boating course. Now, the other issue was the turning the power off. You have to be careful, or you might turn your refrigerator off and have a nice smell.
And a big grocery bill.
Yeah. No, that is good. And we could spend another conversation. David, I don't know that we've ever tackled this, or I'm sure we've spoken to it. And that is the labels in your electric, your breaker box, how accurate are they after all these years, right? So great advice. Usually you would not find the refrigerator on the same circuit as a stove, because a stove requires a double breaker, right? I think. Or
yes.
Is it 30 amp?
No, it's a double pole.
It's a double pole. So yes. So, Charles, alas, good advice. Thank you for the mnemonic device. A for ash, B for boom, C for current. And and for a reminder, try not to turn the refrigerator off when you leave the house. That's good advice, brother.
All right.
Hey, thank you for your patience waiting through the break there.
Thank you for being there.
No worries. We love it. Have a great day, okay? Stay safe. So here's another little, like, extra plus for Charles, right? Like, he pulled over to pay attention. So probably a safe character from
the and the other valuable lesson is, if you call in, you have to
turn your radio down.
Because there's a delay. So what happens is it just messes with you. Trust is just as soon as if you're on hold, you can hear the show while you're on hold. But as soon as we call you up, you have to turn your radio off or down so you don't hear it.
Because there's a 4-hour delay in case I say something stupid. It, 4 hours to clean that up.
When we first started the show, it was only 3 minutes.
It's called experience. Data points. All right. I'm not watching the clock again. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is our phone number. Give us a call. We spoke to the escape plan. We didn't tackle carbon monoxide detectors. I'm going to save that for another day.
Okay.
And we're 2 minutes away from a break. So let me do just one quick thing, because we're kind of locked on this deal. I'll just repeat the Home Depot product of the week. Honestly, if you get this at Joe's Bar and Grill, if they're selling legitimate stuff, we really don't care. We just think it's good to get this. Home Depot has a package that for like $120, I think, of a couple fire extinguishers, three smoke alarms, two CO detectors, and a stair, like the folding stairs, a collapsible stairs to a ladder to escape. And it's just a great way to get your kit started. And then I think you just, it's like anything else, you get a little bit of momentum behind you. And we want to caution you, just getting this package may not be the complete solution for your home. It's just a very good way to get started. And a way to share some beneficial pricing or some favorable pricing, if you will, from the Home Depot perspective. So anyway, that's I think we've checked all the boxes for this hour, David, have we?
I think we did it.
Okay. And then we're going to be roughly 1 minute away from our break. So I don't know that I want to tackle an email until we get back, maybe. But I will take the opportunity to do a plug for Kitta Corporation. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but probably the most well-known provider of fire safety products. And the website, Kitta, KIDDE.com, KIDDE.com. They've just got a ton of really good information, and it's super easy to follow. There's literally a picture of a house. David, our vision, or all the way back to our very first website, if you remember that, where you just kind of click on the room and it tells you what's the smoke alarm that needs to be there, what's the CO if it needs to be there, CO detector, and then what kind of fire extinguisher. And it doesn't even make you have to remember Charles' mnemonic device. It specifically tells you, put this one in this place. So great resource. And then all kinds of information, you know, reading through what's on the website. So that would be, in our first week of Fire Safety Month, that would be a resource that we think is pretty invaluable. So grab your questions. We're going to head into our lightning round. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about your home improvement question when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We have some lines open still. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're in our last segment, the lightning round, the proverbial lightning round. Give us a call. We want to talk about what's important to you. But I think, David, we've been threatening to do emails since the first segment and haven't done a thing. Do we have a couple pulled up that we want to look at?
Yeah, let's do Raj wrote us a note, and he said he had two questions regarding staining. So he had some boards replaced on his deck, and, of course, they're new, and they're in between older boards that were sun-bleached. So can't really tell if he had stain or what on there. But he said, first of all, how long should he wait before applying the stain or paint? And I just said, he probably needs to wait at least 30 days. You can always test the wood by putting a couple of drops of water on it. If it absorbs right away, you're probably dried out enough to go ahead and put stain. There's probably still moisture, but it's deeper into the wood, and it'll go out the backside. And a lot of stains will allow it to come through the surface. So, but 30 days, if in fairly decent weather, obviously, if you're in rainy season, it's going to take longer than 30 days. So in the summer, you could probably get, in August, you could probably get away with a week, huh, John? Maybe two.
Yeah, cooking in the sun, the direct sun.
You could also apply Cedar Shield and then wait 3 days and then apply it, because Cedar Shield will push the water out of the deck. But I didn't go into that with him because he only has a handful of boards, and he may not want to, you know, you're going to wait for the